Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Hello, friends. This is Jonathan McLean, pastor of Abundant Life, Assembly of God Church. So glad that you're tuning in to listen to the program today. We would like to invite you to come and worship with us if you do not have a church home of your own. We are currently in the process of building and developing our new location, which is on Willoughby and Salerno Road in Stuart. But we're currently worshiping in a facility in Palm City. The address is 770 Southwest 34th Street, and that is at the Palm City Civic Organization. At 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City Civic Organization in Palm City. Trust that you have a wonderful day, and we're going to move on into a service that's already in progress. And this message is entitled, Do This in Remembrance of Me.
Luke chapter 22, verse 14. Then at the proper time, Jesus and the 12 apostles sat down together at the table. We know this is the Passover meal, right? Jesus said, I've looked forward to this hour. Think about that for a moment. He knew what that season was going to carry. He said, I've looked forward to this time, this season, this hour, this moment, with a deep longing, anxious to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat it again till it comes to fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks for it, he said, Take this and share it among yourselves. Take and eat. Take and drink. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had thanked God for it, he broke it into pieces, gave it to the disciples, saying, This is my body. Take special note of these words. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, This wine is the token of God's new covenant to save you. An agreement sealed with the blood I will pour out for you. But here at this table, sitting among us, as a friend is the man who will betray me. For I, the Son of Man, must die, since it is part of God's plan, but how terrible it will be for my betrayer. Then the disciples begin to ask each other which of them would do such a thing. If you grew up in a traditional church, or you attended a traditional church, maybe an Orthodox church, you may have noticed that the Eucharist or communion is a very important part of those services. And often, there would even be a table. In fact, in our first building, we had beautiful oak furniture, and we had a beautiful oak podium and a beautiful oak communion table. And on the front of the communion table were these words inscribed, Do this in remembrance of me. I trust that the Lord will open up our minds perhaps to a deeper level of what that might mean for us today. As I was looking at this and thinking upon it, and realizing that Jesus takes the bread and he takes the cup and he says, the bread, this is my body. He takes the cup and he says, this is my blood. Now, you have to understand that when Jesus began to speak to his disciples and speak to those who were following, and he said that it is necessary for you to eat of my flesh and drink my blood. And the audience could not handle that. It wasn't that eating flesh was a strange thing to them. Certainly, to think about eating the flesh of a human would have been beyond comprehension. But to eat the flesh of a sacrificed animal, if it was a peace offering, was not something that they could not understand. When we look in Leviticus, it lays out all of the different sacrifices. Perhaps we should go there for a moment, Leviticus chapter 4. In Leviticus, we can see that there is a combination of different sacrifices for different things. And some of these sacrifices were actually shared. It wasn't just that the life of the animal is taken and that a portion of the meat is given to the priest, but some of these sacrifices, a portion of that sacrificial animal went back to the worshiper. And so I want you to think about that, going back over all of those years where Israel as a nation, they are in a sacrificial system, and they're looking forward to the day when they're going to have their own Messiah, Yeshua, that's going to come. And when Yeshua comes, John will say, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John will identify him as the Lamb of God. And so when we are in Leviticus chapter 4, there are some things here that I don't know that we often think about, but I want to call it to your attention. And the first area I want you to think about is that the impact of sin upon humanity is absolutely huge. And when we live in a day when so many would make excuses for sin or a lifestyle of sinning, even in the church, and say, "Well, it really doesn't matter," it's important for us to go back to the foundation and say, what does the Word of God say actually about sin? And what about all these sacrifices that had to be made? I'm going to move kind of quickly, so if you're in Leviticus chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 1, and I want you to look and see if you can find out what kind of sin we're talking about here. "Then the Lord said to Moses, give the Israelites the following instructions for dealing with those who sin how? Ignorantly or unintentional." Or unintentionally. Sin unintentionally. Well, when you think about sin and you think about intentional sin, you go, "Oh, well, that's sin when someone knows they're sinning. They know what they're supposed to do and they don't do it. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." That's a definition of sin, one of the definitions of sin in the New Testament. "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." In other words, if you know what the will of God is and you don't do it, then that becomes sin. But then there's another scripture that says sin is the transgression of the law of God. Now, I kind of grew up with a little broader application, and I heard many people say it this way, that sin is the willful transgression of the known law of God. And so many people kind of have that idea. Well, if I keep the Ten Commandments, you know, it goes back to this performance thing, then I'm acceptable to God. And so God gives the commandments. Yes, they were not suggestions. They were actually commandments. And yet when you look at the law and you look at the commandments, you must understand that no one could actually keep them. And so when you read that, the Apostle Paul addresses that with great fervency in addressing the fact that it's by grace we're saved through faith. We cannot be saved by keeping all the law, because no one could do that perfectly. Only Yeshua was without sin, right? And so when we look at the great dilemma and the great need, and we think about Romans 3:23 that says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So there's really two different areas of sin that all of us have been involved in. One is intentional and one is unintentional. Because none of us perfectly understand all of the laws, nor could we perfectly keep all of the laws. No one ever has been able to do that. And so all of us have sinned means that all of us have broken God's law, and some of that law was intentional and some of it was unintentional. And so we know that all of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And then we also know that the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So no one is saved by keeping the law. So you must have the gift of God in order to be forgiven and have eternal life. And what kind of sin does God consider sin? Well, here we are. "Give the Israelites the following instructions for dealing with those who sin unintentionally by doing anything forbidden by the Lord's commands." All right, what if the high priest messed up? Say, "Well, he's the high priest. Is the high priest going to mess up?" Yeah, he messed up. He did. He was going to mess up. They would drag him out, right, if he was in the holy place. But the high priest, if the high priest sins, and again, what kind of sin is this? Unintentional. Now let's just get something clear. If all of the people sin unintentionally, you're also going to have all of the people sinning intentionally. So let's just look at this, because many people think, "Well, what I don't know doesn't matter. I don't want to know anything more." You know, don't teach me the Word of God. I don't want to know what God has to say, Because the more I know, the more I'm responsible for. Well, actually, the Word of God does say, to whom much is given, much is required. And it also says to the teachers, don't be too impressed with your placement as a teacher, because you will be held accountable for more because of your understanding. So the high priest, this is the highest level of communication with God. If the high priest sins, bringing guilt upon, wow, you mean if the leadership sins, it impacts the whole nation of Israel? It did. When Israel had a corrupt high priest or had a corrupt leader, then that corruption impacted the entire nation. And so this is a powerful passage of Scripture. If the high priest sins, bringing guilt upon the entire community, he must bring to the Lord a young bull with no physical defects. And so God had a solution if the high priest sinned. So all the people could say, amen, amen. Well, then if we drop down to verse 13, it says, if the entire Israelite community does something forbidden by the Lord, and the matter escapes the community's notice, in other words, they're not aware of what they've done, yet all of the people are guilty. What are they guilty of? Unintentional sin, but yet they are guilty. And when they, here it is, when they discover their sin, remember the prodigal? He's out there in the pig pen. He has an awakening, right? Here it is. If the entire community is sinning against God, they don't even know that they're doing it. When they find out they're doing it, then they will be guilty. All of them will be guilty. And when they discover their sins, the leaders of the community must bring a young bull for a sin offering. Well, they were guilty when they were breaking the law, but God provided a sacrifice. This is the great news. God had a plan for them. And so it tells us the priest is the one who will make atonement. In verse 22, same chapter, still chapter 4, if one of Israel's leaders, if one, just one, does something forbidden by the Lord his God, he will be guilty even if he sinned unintentionally. I want you to understand that no sin is a small sin and no sin is a white sin. And no lie is a little lie and no lie is a white lie. And sin is what God says is breaking the law. Or hamartia, the Greek word, is to miss the mark. So even if one of Israel's leaders does something forbidden by the Lord, he will be guilty even if he has sinned unintentionally. Look at verse 23. When he becomes aware of his sin, he must bring as his offering a male goat with no physical defects. And so when he finds out, he's to do something. Yes, I'm going to say it early. If you find out you've sinned, you need to do something. Say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. Amen. Praise God. That's wonderful. But if you find out that you have sinned, you need to do something and confess it. Yes, the word said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So here we are all the way back to the foundation. And he is to bring a male goat with no physical defects. So check out your sacrifice carefully, because that matters too. Now look at verse 27. If any of the citizens of Israel do something forbidden by the Lord, they will be guilty even if they sin unintentionally. Do you get the picture? From the high priest to the leadership to the individual in the nation, when their sin, they must acknowledge it and recognize it requires a blood sacrifice or a grain sacrifice, some kind of a sacrifice. It doesn't always have to be a young calf or a lamb. You don't have the money. It might be a turtle dove, maybe a pigeon. It's going to be, there's different levels depending on what you have. But when sin is found out, the blood needs to be applied to that sin. Well, as we continue and look into chapter 5, verse 5, it says, when any of the people become aware of their guilt in any of these ways, and it goes through all kinds of different areas, you can read that, talking about different ways people can sin, and it's kind of specific, and it deals with the aspect of truth or lying or vows, so many different things it addresses. But when any of the people become aware of their guilt in any of these ways, they must confess their sin. Now, you may not have thought about that in the first covenant, that there was an aspect of confessing. But one of the things that, depending on the offering that's being brought, when you were dealing with sin offerings, the worshiper would often be the one who took the knife and cut the throat of the animal and actually laid their hand on the animal, and there was a confession of the sin that was done. So there was an identification with the sacrifice, with the sin. And so if any of the people, when the people become aware of their guilt, in any of these ways they must confess their sins, bring to the Lord their penalty, a female from the flock or sheep or a goat. All right. Then in the same passage, it deals with restitution. And restitution isn't something that many people talk about anymore. But if somebody, you know, stole your car or stole your fishing poles or stole your boat or stole $1,000 from you, you might like for them to pay restitution. It might make better sense to you. I mean, if someone did this to you. I mean, in fact, it actually lays out 20%. Huh. So, you know, if somebody stole $100, that would get turned into $120, wouldn't it? And so there's a principle that's laid out here. In other words, God wanted his people to be honest and to treat each other right and to be accountable even if they damaged anything at the tabernacle. There was accountability if they messed up the furniture at the tabernacle, the place of worship. They would have to repay, restore. And the added penalty of 20% when they gave their payments to the priest, he would make atonement for them. Verse 17, chapter 5, if any of them sin by doing something forbidden by the Lord, even if it's done unintentionally, they will be held responsible. Wow. And so there's a lot in Leviticus that sort of lays a foundation. Actually, I guess it was a year ago when I was going through this passage, I wrote this in between the lines in my Bible. The priesthood and people ate from the sacrificial system. Both the priesthood and the people ate of the sacrifice. Actually, that was where the priesthood received their meat. It was from the sacrifices that were made. But the people also participated. And when Jesus said, "This is my body," I want you to, again, I'm going to bring you back to that declaration of John, who says, "The Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And I want you to keep in mind what Jesus said, "This is my body and this is my blood." I want you to take and eat of the body and the blood of Yeshua. So yes, the priesthood and the people, they ate from the sacrifice. When Jesus said, "Take and eat," the people understood the sacrifices and they understood eating from the sacrifice, but they didn't understand the part about the blood because they were never, ever, ever to eat or drink the blood. They were never to do that. So the life, we know life is in the blood, right? Life is in the blood. We're going to talk some more about that in a little bit. The blood of Jesus was very different from all the other blood on the entirety of the planet that has ever been. His blood was perfectly pure. I know during COVID and thereafter, with a lot of the vaccinations and a lot of the shots and a lot of the complications that continue, I heard some discussion about pure blood, the pure-blooded people that were not contaminated with some of those things. But as we're looking at the system this morning and recognizing how great the need is, I want you to understand that all of us are contaminated, and there's only one that truly has pure blood that can pay the price. Do this in remembrance of me. Intentional, unintentional. In fact, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, you'll find that in the garden, we find in the garden that they're told not to eat of the tree, right? And I was looking at that and I was thinking about the aspect of death, because the word of the Lord was, when you eat of this tree, you will die. And what did Satan say? Satan said, "No, you're not going to die if you eat of this tree. You can eat of this tree because God knows if you eat of this tree, you will understand both good and evil, but you will not die." But yet the power of sin at that point is exposed, because sin would have been permanent. There was more time, we would go to more of these scriptures, but in fact, maybe we should look at it. Go to Genesis chapter 3:22 just for a moment. Genesis 3:22. I believe this is significant, and you probably have heard it. Maybe all of you know it, maybe some of you don't know it, but look at this. Genesis 3:22. "Then the Lord said, 'The people have become as we are, knowing everything, both good and evil. What if they eat the fruit of the tree of life?'" That is a really big what if. What if they eat of the fruit of the tree of life? then they will what? What does it say? They will live forever. But wait a minute. Aren't they going to live forever anyway? I mean, think about it. Do the unrighteous live forever? Yes, they do. The difference is either you're going to live forever separated from God or you will live forever with God. All people are going to die and then we're going to continue to live forever. And so when you read this passage and you look at this, what is this passage saying? I personally believe what it's saying is that if Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of life, that they forever would have been damned and separated from God. Because at this point, they have rebelled against God, they've disobeyed God, and so did Satan and the angels that fell with him. And so if they now partake of the tree of life, they are going to live forever in that lost state, I believe. So the Lord God banished them. Yes, he banished them. Banished Adam and his wife from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After banishing them from the garden, the Lord stationed mighty angelic beings to the east of Eden, and a flaming sword flashed back and forth, guarding the way to the tree of life. So we know that if they had eaten of the tree of life when they were obedient, the other side of that is, they could have lived forever without sin. Wouldn't that have been a different planet to live on? If they had just fed on the tree of life instead of the tree of death and evil. But they didn't, so we need life, don't we? We need life. So in Leviticus we see that intentional, unintentional, whether they're sins of omission or sins of commission, the wages of sin is always death, and we know that. And so we know that there is a great and tremendous need that all mankind has. The great requirement was a sacrificial system. We looked at that. And now I want to come to the last point, and this point is the great sacrifice that Christ made for us that we might have life. What are we doing this morning? I'm calling you to remember. I want you to remember when you partake of Holy Communion what it's all about. I sense that God was saying to me, we need to allow God to raise the level of respect and reverence in the house of God and to stir up in us a fresh and renewed faith to understand what we're supposed to be remembering when we partake of the elements. In fact, I appreciate the brothers that pass communion and then go and pick communion up, and those who serve as ushers and serve as security. I appreciate their sensitivity that I believe has been developing to a new level. I appreciate that. And I would like to call all of us to a higher level of reverence of God. In fact, occasionally I'll catch myself maybe talking to someone and I realize that Bob has already started praying over the congregation. I really believe when someone is leading the service and they're praying that we should have respect and should immediately stop any conversations if we're able to. And I know there's some things that can happen if you have a child that falls in the floor or somebody passes out or, you know, somebody dies, like the one pastor was telling me. Had a person in his church just fall over dead. They had to do something, you know. I understand that, but I mean just generally to come to worship with a higher sense of awareness that God is actually here and that God is aware of our hearts and God is aware of our worship and God is aware of our prayer time. And we are to remember Him, not just when we receive the elements in communion, but I believe we're to come with a heart of remembrance and thanksgiving, and out of that should flow our worship. I hope you can understand what I'm sharing this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. I trust the service has been a blessing to you. This is part one of a two-part message. Next week we'll plan to complete this message on Do This in Remembrance of Me. Once again, we'd like to invite you to come out and be a part of our worship services today. We're having services while we're under construction at 770 Southwest 34th Street. That's at the Palm City Civic Organization in Palm City, Florida. That's 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City Civic Organization in Palm City, Florida. The service times are at 9:30 a.m., so we do look forward to seeing you. We also have a Wednesday evening service at 7 o'clock, and we have men's meetings that meet throughout the week, ladies' prayer groups as well. And we look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you. Have an awesome weekend in Jesus' name. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on Religious Liberty News on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.
Unveil me completely.